Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you believe you're already almost done with Easter worship and off for your au gratin potatoes? It's a great church. Hey, do you all know what an Easter egg is? Oh, good. Well, I'm not talking about that one. I'm not talking about this one. It was a trick question. I'm talking about the kind that filmmakers leave hidden in their movies for the truly geeky fans to discover. My favorite example, in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, aka Harrison Ford, is on a quest to find the Lost Ark of the Covenant, the chest in which ancient Israel supposedly kept the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. And when Indiana, Harrison Ford, finally finds this holy ancient artifact, the camera moves along the edge and you notice hieroglyphics of some kind. And if you pause it right then and zoom in, you'll see that one of those sacred symbols depicts R2-D2 and C-3PO from Star Wars. Do you remember those guys, the robots? A film in which Harrison Ford also stars and George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were involved in. That's an Easter egg. And this is a stunt. Becca, you got it. 3 for 3, Becca. Pastor Freeman. Did you know she was a Miss Basketball finalist? She's very athletic. It's only fitting that our Easter reading would have an Easter egg, right? I wonder if any of you caught it. A subtle reference to an older story in the sacred scriptures. It's all right if you didn't. Easter eggs are hidden, in plain sight, but hidden after all. But I think the reference would have been pretty obvious to John's ancient Jewish audience because there were few stories more familiar to them, more important to them than the Garden of Eden. John tucks at least two eggs referencing Eden into his Easter narrative. First, he literally sets the scene in a garden, the tomb in which Jesus is laid to rest is said to be not in a cemetery, but a garden near the place of crucifixion. This is a detail unique to John's gospel. Second, Mary Magdalene, upon meeting the risen Jesus outside the tomb for the first time, mistakes him for whom? The gardener. This is also unique to John's gospel. He's doing something intentionally here. Now, I don't want to undermine this whole premise I'm establishing right off the bat, but I do have to confess, in point of fact, these aren't Easter eggs at all. Easter eggs are trivial. They're fun little nothings, intended mainly to amuse an eagle-eyed viewer. But these details in John's narrative matter. They have great meaning. What happened in that first garden, after all? It was the mythical birthplace of all life. If you think back to Genesis 2, when no shrub had yet appeared on the earth and no rain had yet kissed its dusty surface, God planted a garden in the east and there formed the first of us from the soil. God made all kinds of trees grow there, including the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was a time and a place of freedom and trust and plenty. The first man and first woman could eat of any tree they desired, except one. They were assigned to be God's helpers in loving and caring for creation, and they were naked, an important detail that signified they required no protection from the elements, and they were unencumbered by shame of any kind. And then, all of that wonder and all of that innocence was lost. The trust between Creator and creation was broken. We, humanity, came to know and understand evil. Death found its way into the world through that garden of abundant life. And then, in a deathly garden, a place of tombs, new life was breathed into the world. What the old gardeners, Adam and Eve, had broken, this new gardener repaired. The ruptured relationship between God and creation was restored once and for all through the enduring power of the resurrection. And that is the new creation in which we still live today. It is a hopeful existence. I want to be real about what it means, though, because hope is what we have when we live in anticipation of a world not yet fully realized. There can be no denying that we still suffer the curse of Eden. We know evil all too well. We see it all too often. We live with fear and shame. We experience great pain and loss. We are at times threatened by grief so ravenous it would swallow our hope entirely. But it can't. No matter how deeply this world would bury it, our hope stubbornly rises again and again and again. It will always rise because of the resurrection. Easter is the great reminder that what God creates is not ever destroyed. What God promises is never lost. Life wins, despite all the evidence to the contrary. And you share in this victory. You are heirs of this promise. You are beacons of this hope in a world that needs it and craves it. In other words, you are Easter eggs that God has strategically placed throughout the story of creation. You, your joy, your goodness, your generosity, your kindness, are clues about who God is and what God has done. Your life hints at the abundant life God continues to nurture in this world. Your faith is nothing less than a reference to the resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.